Court will proceed to the next case, the United States v. Stewart. Mr. Schultz.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Your Honor, please, I represent Mr. Stewart. Coming from a trial where Mr. Stewart was accused of and convicted of three counts of tax evasion, he was represented by Attorney Robert Bernhoff during that matter. Shortly after the trial had completed, Mr. Stewart came to me. We had filed a timely motion for a new trial in this matter based on two issues. One was sufficiency of the evidence, and two was the ineffective assistance of Mr. Bernhoff during this matter. What we're here before today, before this Court, is on the ineffective assistance of counsel issue. What we're looking at in this particular case is, and we're asking that this Court reverse the decision of the District Court and remand this for a new trial. Mr. Bernhoff, in this situation, took forth a supposed defense of good faith, one that we often see in tax evasion cases, and that this was not a willful evasion of Mr. Stewart's taxes. The problem is what is often difficult and you very seldom see is putting forth a defendant's beliefs or what he believes in as to why he is not liable for a tax and never hear from the defendant himself.
But is it your position that he could have avoided criminal penalty by arguing that he didn't think the Internal Revenue Code applied to him? Because that's sort of what it comes down to.
I think what the position here is, Your Honor, is that he could have avoided conviction if he would have been able to put before the jury his actual reasoning as to why he thought he was not liable for taxes. Do I say that he had a true legal reason that allows him to avoid taxes? No. But I think the issue of good faith and willfulness goes to, does the individual reasonably believe or does a jury believe that this person actually believes that his analysis of the code or understanding the code or misunderstanding of the code leads him to believe that he does not have a tax liability. And in this situation, Mr. Bernhoff just did not put forth that defense. He says he puts forth a good faith defense, and the government says he does, but all that you see throughout the entire record is that he brings forth the fact that he talks to accountants, he talks to other people, and he brings up the question, show me where the law is that I'm liable to pay my taxes. That, I would submit to the court, is not good faith. That is going forth and asking a question, well, show me what the law is. There was a process that Mr. Stewart went through that he explained to Mr. Bernhoff, or tried to explain to Mr. Bernhoff, that we set forth in the affidavits of Mr. Stewart and we set forth in the testimony of Mr. Stewart in this case. The case took on a whole series of that. Mr. Bernhoff starts off the entire case, first of all, with the wrong set of facts. He says that my client has learned about this situation through his church members, and that he somehow comes in to the fact that he doesn't know what the law is and what makes him liable for taxes, and that's just simply not where his argument was. And in fact, he goes to the point of saying that Mr. Stewart's kooky, and kooky ain't crazy, or kooky ain't criminal, I think is what he says during his opening statement.
Doesn't this all kind of ignore the fact that your client waived his right to speak, and he waived it very specifically to the judge, and even under examination by the judge?
He did, and Your Honor is exactly correct about that. And I think what's very important in that situation, and I think it's a key issue here in this case, is that when you look at an individual, whether they waive their right to testify is one.
Well, I looked at a few, but go ahead. Tell me, what could the judge have done more than he did?
I don't think the judge could have done anything differently. I think Judge Levert handled that appropriately and did exactly what he needed to do.
Step closer to the microphone because somebody's trying to record this thing.
That's right. I apologize, Your Honor.
For future generations to listen to our golden heart.
Well, I think...
She's just snickering at me, but go ahead.
Okay. I think you're exactly right. I think Judge Clavert handled it exactly the way he needed to. The problem is, and if you look at the testimony, even the testimony of Mr. Stewart's daughter, he based his decision on the fact of information that Mr. Bernhoff gave him that was incorrect. Mr. Bernhoff tells him that we are going to proceed, I'm going to proceed forward and present all the documents that you have in your favor. I'm going to bring forth all your arguments that you have in closing and with other evidence. And he never does that. So what it essentially does is...
You're putting this court in an untenable situation. We're supposed to require the trial judge not to believe a defendant when he says he's voluntarily not testifying because his lawyer will speak for him, which is what the lawyer is supposed to do, and did, whether he does or doesn't. He may have an argument that he fooled himself, but all he had to do was say, no, I want to tell my story myself, and he could have.
And would have. And you're correct about that, Your Honor.
And he would have gone down sinking, as you know, and so do I. So I don't know what conceivable difference it would have made.
Well, I think it would have made a couple of differences.
He'd have felt better about it.
He would have felt better about it. That's true.
But he might be able to find somebody in the jury that agreed with that sappy story.
Well, and here's the thing, Your Honor. I don't necessarily think this is an untenable position. The reason I say that is because if you look at how the cases are, it says, well, you just can't make a blanket assertion that I wasn't able to testify. You have to show something else as to why this was a difference or why a decision was made that you couldn't testify.
No, all we have to do is look and see whether we think, in all the facts and circumstances, he voluntarily waived his right to take the stand.
And the reason...
And I read this record very carefully, and there's not one iota of evidence that he didn't want to waive his right to testify.
But he waived his right with the wrong information, Judge. And we put forth evidence that the information was incorrect. And that's the position that we take, that you come in and you offer additional evidence in the way of Ms. Aaron Stewart, who testified, and Mr. Stewart, who testified, as to what his beliefs were and what he was told by Mr. Bernhoff. What's interesting is this court, actually, and two of the judges, which was Your Honor, and one which was Judge Rovner, was the Mosley versus Atchison decision. I hope I pronounced that correctly. If I didn't, I apologize. But in that situation, the court did not find that attorney acted reasonably in a situation where the attorney just simply failed to investigate the case and makes a strategic decision based upon that. And in this situation, if you look at the other evidence that's been presented, what Mr. Stewart's presented by way of his testimony, what his daughter's presented by way of her testimony, he never talked to Mr. Stewart. He never got what his theory of the case was, never looked into his theory of the case, didn't even present his theory of the case appropriately on opening statement. In fact, didn't even use the right facts. So in that situation... is he voluntarily waiving his right to testify when your attorney does not talk to you about
the
case?
You're in your rebuttal time, but go ahead.
Well, I'll finish up quickly, Your Honor. Does your attorney...
So,
yes, sir.
He made his statement about voluntarily agreeing not to testify after he heard his attorney make the opening statement, didn't he?
He did, Your Honor. He did.
So he was informed, was he not, as to where counsel was headed?
Well, and I think what you see from the testimony of himself and his daughter is that they brought that to Mr. Bernhoff's attention. And Mr. Bernhoff says, I'll take care of that. I'm going to wrap that up in closing. I'm going to put these other documents in, and I'll take care of all that. And you won't need to testify to bring all this out. But Mr. Bernhoff never does that. At that point, does a defendant who is unprepared for trial, whose attorney does not know what his theory of the case is and has not spoken with him about the case, stand up and say, I want to jump up on the witness stand without ever being prepared to do so? And I'm stepped down at this time and save a few minutes, at least a minute for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Jacobs?
May it please the court, counsel. Mr. Stewart has failed to overcome the presumption that his trial counsel did provide effective assistance. The most developed claim in Mr. Stewart's brief is that he was precluded from testifying on his own behalf, but the record That is, Mr. Stewart's express statements, his actions, and his demeanor support a finding that he made a knowing and voluntary decision. It was a tactical decision they made before trial, and the claim was not raised until after that tactic failed and he was convicted. I've set forth the court's addressing of Mr. Stewart at trial, and unless the court has further questions of me, the government will rely on its brief.
Thank you. Mr. Shaw?
Not much to rebut, huh?
Not much to rebut. I guess I timed myself
perfectly.
I timed myself perfectly. But I did want to point out a couple of things with regards to that. Voluntarily waiving your right to testify means being informed of what you are doing.
And in this, court informed him.
Court informed him, but his attorney did not inform him of the circumstances surrounding the case. And I think that's the key. The key is that if you were to enter a plea, your attorney is supposed to inform you about all the circumstances surrounding your case before you make that decision to enter that guilty plea. And in this situation, Mr. Bernhoff didn't have the knowledge before him to appropriately inform Mr. Stewart at the time. And I thank you all for listening to me, and if I may be excused.
Safe trip home.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shaw. Thank you. Mr. Jacobs, the case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.